Speak to my heart, Holy Spirit. Give me the words that will bring new life. Words on the wings of the morning, dark night will fade away. If you speak to my heart, Lord. Speak to my heart, Holy Spirit, message of love to encourage me, lifting my heart from despair. How you love me and you care. Speak to my heart, Lord, yeah. Speak to my heart, Lord. Give me your holy word. If I can't hear from you, I don't know what to do. I won't go alone. I never go on my own. Just let your spirit guide and let your word abide. Speak to my heart, Lord. Come on, let's stand and sing it. Give me your holy word. If I can't hear from you, I don't know what to do. I won't go alone, Lord. Just let your spirit guide and let your word abide. Speak to my heart, Lord. Anybody want them to speak to you today? Come on, let's just speak to my heart, Lord. Come on, let's say, speak to my heart, Lord. Come on. Make my heart fertile ground to receive what you're going to say to me today. Give me your holy word. Come on, let's say it. Speak to my heart, Lord. Give me your holy word.
Speak to my heart, Lord.
Give me your holy word. Oh, if I can't hear from you, I don't know what to do. I won't go alone. I'll never go on my own. Just let your spirit guide.
And let your word.
Yeah. Speak to my heart, Lord. Give me your heart. To me, keep on talking to me, keep on talking to me, keep on talking to me. Come on, touch yourself and tell the Lord, keep on talking to me, keep on talking to me. I don't want to get so clogged up that I can't hear you, so keep on talking to me. I don't want to get so busy that I don't hear you, so like the Lord, keep on talking to me. Keep on talking to me. That's my prayer today. Keep on talking to me, Jesus. When I'm right, when I'm wrong, keep on. But I don't know, and I can't see my way. Keep on. Hey, hey. Keep on talking to me. Keep on
talking.
Thank you, Jesus.
Keep on.
I don't want to be out of your way. Keep on
talking.
Hey, hey. Oh, keep on
talking.
got one request today. Keep on, Lord, keep on talking to us. We need to hear a word from you. For if we don't hear from you, we don't know what to do. So God, speak like only you can. Father, I've studied, but only you can make me prepared. I'm willing, oh God, but only you can make me able to rightly divide your word of truth to the end that somebody might see you. It's in your name, the name that is above every name, we do pray and give thanks. Amen. 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 To God our Father, Jesus our Savior, to the Holy Ghost who is the Paraclete who comes alongside to help and aid us in this thing we call life, it's just good to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Let me rush to thank God for the greatest pastor in the entire world. Would you help me celebrate our pastor, our man of God? That's what I'm talking about. The Reverend Dr. D.Z. Cofield. Man, listen. If you're watching, we're saying, hey, pastor, in Africa. He's in Africa, and we are so grateful. We love you, man. I love you, and I thank God for you. To all of these preachers, can we give up? We've been favored with some great preaching in Pastor Sabbatical. Can we give our preachers a hand? Yeah, yeah. I just want to thank you, brothers, and let you know that everything you preached, I'm going to preach. Yeah, I'm sure going to preach word for word, too. I ain't got no work to do then. Amen. Imagine riding in the car. Radio on, when you hear the exciting announcement that one of your favorite musical artists is coming to a city near you. Immediately, you make plans to be there. You secure your ticket. You rally up your crew and prepare for an unforgettable night of live music, good energy, and fellow fans who have gathered together from near and far. In preparation of this blissful night, you book your appointment with your barber or your beautician. You stop by to see your nail tech. You take your car through the car wash. Then you pick out the flyest outfit that you can find. You've even gone so far to even put in a half day at work. Sending your coworkers an email with the subject line in big bold letters, P-T. Oh, and in your mind, that doesn't mean paid time off. It means prepare the others. Because you've decided that nothing and no one is going to get in the way of your good time. In anticipation of the concert, you start to blast your favorite songs as you dance in the mirror, singing the lyrics word for word, like you wrote the song yourself. Then the big night arrives. You walk into a packed arena. It's wall to wall with fans just like you, dressed in merch, belting out lyrics and vibing out in unison. Then the band comes out in all white. The lights hit. The crowd begins to roar as the band hits their opening number with these words: "You make me happy." This you can bet. You stood right beside me, and I won't forget. And I really love you. You should know. I want to make sure I'm right, girl, before I let go. Yeah, you felt that too, didn't you? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everybody loses it, and it's electric. You sing your heart out, and because this particular artist is Frankie Beverly and Mays, by the end of the night, you realize that 90% of the concert was you singing to him. The concert concludes, and though the experience was fun, you leave unchanged, just entertained, because you're a fan, not a follower. You don't leave Frankie Beverly's concert and then promote the band's mission. You don't make sacrifices to carry out their message. You don't go out into the world and be an evangelist for Frankie Beverly and the Maze, because fans enjoy the moment, but followers live out the mission and adhere to the mandates. And oh, my brothers and sisters, that's how many of us treat Jesus. We sing, we shout, and we show up, but when the lights go down and the moment passes, we go back to business as usual. Oh, brothers and sisters, we admire him, but we don't align with him. We applaud with him, but we don't abide in him. We cheer him on from the crowd, but we don't carry our cross. We chase him with our desires, but we don't carry out his demands. And oh, child of God, I stopped by to tell you today, Jesus is not looking for fans in the stands. He's looking for followers who are fully committed. And the question is, when you look at your life, do you see yourself following as a fan or following as the committed? Whichever one it is, they both have earthly and eternal consequences. And that's what I want to talk about today. How to live your life as a follower and not a fan. How to live your life as a follower and not a fan. Our text today is found in Luke chapter number 9, verse number 23. Let's look at what it says. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. First thing I need to tell you is that if you're going to be move from being fans to followers for Jesus, number one, you must make life adjustments for Jesus. Here in this passage of scripture, we are intentionally guided by the penmanship and lens of the gospel writer, historian, and physician Luke. Luke, within our selected scripture focus, begins to highlight and put on display the words of Jesus. As Jesus begins to communicate, outline, and foretell his impending suffering, death, and resurrection. The Bible lets us know that after Jesus briefly predicts his future, he then turns his attention to his disciples. And he begins to share with them a brief, bold, but potent prerequisite that paints a realistic portrait of what a true disciple and follower of Jesus Christ ought to look like. Listen at what Jesus says to them. If anyone would come after me, let him or her deny themselves. Jesus first starts off by saying, if any person is going to follow in the way of his footsteps, that the first thing that they must do and have is a desire to make the necessary shift from being fans to followers. Jesus, in so many words, is saying that if you want to go deeper, get serious about your relationship and be my ride or die, you've got to have a desire that is eager, determined, willing, hungry, and thirsty to identify with me, to unify with me, to attach yourself to me, and to connect with me. But you got to do it as devout followers and not distant fans. Jesus lets them know and lets us know that the call, that when we answer the call of discipleship, we answer the call with our desire, but we measure the call by how we meet God's demands. And oh, brothers and sisters, Jesus says, if you're going to be my disciples, if you're going to be my followers, you've got to realize that, following me means you're going to go on a journey that has demands and requires some adjustments. Realizing that a disciple, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, you can't have allegiance to him if you're not willing to make adjustments for him. Because when you're really a follower of Jesus, you understand that your allegiance requires you to submit and subject yourself to a holy metamorphosis where you are constantly being changed, constantly being transformed and reshaped by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, that's what the old church understood all too well. They understood that coming to Christ meant that they had to change. And they understood it because they would say things like things, places I used to go, I don't go no more. Things I used to do, I don't do no more. This never changed. Things I used to say, I don't say as much. Thank God for progress. An old child of God, I can hear that church, that old church singing the song from our sainted sister Olivia Branch Walker when they sung, I moved from my old house and I moved from my old friends and I moved from my old way of strife and I thank God I moved out into a brand new life. Then they would go on and say, he changed my old way with words. He changed my old leveled mind. He changed my heart and gave me a new start. Thank God I moved out to a brand new life. And church, and if you're going to get serious about your spiritual walk in maturity, you've got to make some decisions to make some adjustments so that we can meet his demands. Which is why Jesus says, if you're going to be my authentic and genuine follower, you've got to meet some requirements and make some adjustments. And the challenge with the modern day church is we want the benefits, the blessings, and the rewards of being a follower, but we don't want the requirements that come with it. And Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, you got to change. I hear you out there saying, well, Pastor Cam, if I got to change, if I got to make some adjustments, if I got to make a move, what do I have to change? I'm so glad you asked. Because Jesus says his followers are those who have made the decision to deny themselves. His followers are those who say no to sin. His followers disown self and selfishness for once and for all. Those who follow him are committed to giving up their pride in self, their dependence on self, and their confidence in self. Realizing that real disciples can never be self-centered because we're always called to be Christ-centered. And oh, child of God, if we're not careful and if we're not cautious, the world in which we live will cause us to believe and chart a path that follows after society, social media, and societal influencers, causing us to think that the rule to a faithful life is to be stubborn, self-willed, and self-seeking, where you only focus on I, me, my, and mine. But Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciple, you've got to deny yourself. And what denying yourself for the sake of Christ means, it means you got to renew your mind so you can think like him. You got to turn your heart so you can love like him. You got to forfeit your agenda so you can be in alignment with him. And you've got to release your plans for your life so that you can exchange it for his plans and his will to be done in your life. Denying yourself means gladly obeying his commandments, serving one another, suffering for his sake, and following him no matter how severe the consequences. When you deny yourself, it means that you're making a decision to put a stop to building your earthly sandcastle so you can start building his kingdom. Part of the problem is we can't build the kingdom because we're too busy building sandcastles. What is that, Pastor Cam? Whenever you're living for your own glory, for your own advancement, in your own power, and in your own might, all you're doing is building a sandcastle. But here's what I've learned about sandcastles. Just as quick as they go up is as quick as they come down. Jesus says, deny the will to build for you and build the kingdom of God. That word deny is the exact same word that was used when Peter denied Jesus. It meant to disown Jesus. It meant to reject Jesus. It meant to turn away, turn his back on Jesus. And the imagery here is what Jesus is saying is, I need you to deny yourself like Peter denied me. What does that mean? That means you got to disown your selfishness, reject your inward focus, and turn away from the idolatry of your self-centeredness. You may not be serving another God, but you are serving you. Because the fact is this, no man can serve God without holiness, but without self-denial, no man can be holy. And so we got to make some adjustments. Several sermons ago, I told you that I had started on my fitness journey and began to work on this temple. Yeah. And lose these parentheses around my waist. Hallelujah. And so in an effort to reach my goal, I started working out, eating right, and I started doing the necessary adjustments so that I could get where I wanted to be. And well, after I started seeing some results, and I looked in the mirror a little too long, I must confess, I backslid. And I started doing the things that made my back big in the first place again. I laugh writing this, okay? And so I pulled it in. I caught it by the reins, and I got a trainer. I got a trainer who's a brother of mine's, and he was here at the 8 o'clock service. His name is Collins, and Collins is my brother. But he gets on my last nerves, because Collins is always nagging at me and reminding me of what I can and cannot do and what I can and cannot eat. It's like being a child all over again. I can't even go to the grocery store. See, you feel my frustration right here. I can't even go to the grocery store without him nagging me about what I can and cannot have. And Collins always reminds me, if you're going to get the reward and the results of a renewed body, you've got to realign yourself. And you got to make some adjustments. So I had to adjust my schedule so that I could work out. I had to adjust my habits to better eating. I had to deny myself so that I could receive the reward. And see, some of y'all out there, y'all think I'm talking about me, my parentheses, and Collins. But I'm really talking about you and your journey with Jesus. And Jesus is saying, if you're going to get the reward and be authentic on your journey, you can't do it without making some adjustments. Second thing I need to tell you, you must commit daily. You must daily commit your life to Jesus. Jesus says, take up your cross daily. As Jesus continues to outline the measure and test of what true disciples and followers look like, he tells his disciples that the second mark of a resolute, intentional, and committed follower is a person who has a daily pursuit to take up their cross. Jesus says, if you're going to stop being a fan and start being a follower, you've got to be a cross carrier. Church, that's significant because crosses in today's time are reduced and widely viewed as a piece of jewelry or decoration within our homes or our churches. But in that day and time, if a person was carrying a cross, it meant that they were condemned and they were a convicted criminal and they were considered a dead man walking as they were on a journey to their death. This person had become a public spectacle, and that journey that they endured was one of criticism and judgment. And now the early disciples would have to deal with that. The Bible said Jesus tells them that they would have to endure some of the same suffering that he did. And they tell them that he tells them that they would have to face the same persecution that he did. And while this is not widely seen in today's time, but there are some places where people are still literally, physically giving their lives for the cause of Christ. Jesus says, for those of us who may not meet persecution physically, what it means for us is that we've got a commitment every day to walk with him. We commit to carrying our cross. And we don't carry our cross out of condemnation. We carry our cross out of conviction. And what the criminal does out of duress, we do out of devotion. Because when Jesus says, take up your cross daily, what he's saying to every disciple is that we ought to be living a crucified life. A life that is fully committed to daily crucifying the life you once had and the person you once were before you met Jesus. When you carry your cross, you're saying to him, yourself and the world, I belong to Jesus. And more importantly, I'm committed to Jesus. When you carry your cross, it means that you are a dead man, a woman walking, because you've died to the world. You've separated yourself from its values. You freed yourself from its lifestyle. And now you are accountable to God. And the challenge with Christians today is we fail to realize that you can't fully commit to God if you're always compromising with the world. That's what we call Christian counterfeits. When you are a Christian counterfeit, your faith looks good on the outside, but it lacks surrender on the inside. When you are a counterfeit Christian, you are easily conformed and you start looking and acting like the people you were called to minister to. When you are a counterfeit Christian, you don't endure as a good soldier, because as soon as you get mad and somebody tease you off, you quit serving in your position and you say, well, God told me my season was up. Counterfeit Christians serve on a part-time basis. They're part-time because in church and around certain people, they look the part. They sound the part. They put on the good facade. But let me tell somebody today, just because you are churchy does not mean you are Christ-like. You can know all the stuff that we do, but that don't mean you know him for real. What does your life say? Jesus says, take up your cross. Because your cross isn't just what you carry, it's where you die. And the question is, what needs to die so that Christ can live fully through you? The call to discipleship means you walk differently, with integrity, with purity, with faithfulness, with humbleness. When you're so comfortable with the world, nobody will tell that we're different. And when they can't tell the difference from us and them, we failed the master and we failed the test. So if you're saying it today, I'm saying it too. They not like us. They not like us. And true commitment to God means you're going to die daily to your ego, to your own sin, and to your need to have control. Yes, you will be criticized. Yes, you will be judged. Yes, you will be misunderstood. But if when you give the best of your service, telling the world that the Savior has come, be not dismayed when men don't believe you. He'll understand and he'll say, well done. Oh, church, if you try and you fail in your trying, and your hands are sore and scarred from the work you've begun, take up your cross. Run quickly to meet him. He'll understand and say, well done. Take up your cross. Realizing that Jesus never calls us to do anything for him that he hasn't already done for us. If Jesus can die for us, the least we can do is live for him. Taking up your cross is a daily assignment. It's not just a decision. We do this daily. It's saying to God, for God I live, and for God I die. And no matter what comes, the billows may roll, the breakers may dash, but I shall not sway, because he holds me fast. So dark the day, clouds in the sky, I know it's all right, because Jesus is mine, and my soul has been anchored in the Lord. I'm done now, but the third thing I need to tell you is that you must trust and obey the leadership of Jesus. He says, follow me. Jesus begins to wrap this thing up, and he concludes this verse by giving the final distinction that separates those who are fans and those who are followers. Jesus says that real disciples and followers are those who are committed to let him lead them and who are obeying his commandments. Brothers and sisters, these are people who are actively, attentively following after his example, his word, and his way. Which is to say to us, it does not just matter that you follow, it matters how you follow. Realizing that when we follow him, we don't have anything to lose, but we got everything to gain. I'm done when I tell you this, but Jesus says, follow me. And that's the truest pattern of real discipleship, because real disciples are never stagnant, because God is always calling them and challenging them to go deeper in their walk. Following Jesus means you're going to follow him in your finances, your ambitions, your desires, your entertainment, and your relationships. It means following him all the way. Following Jesus is not an easy road. Sorry they lied and told you that. Because the road to heaven always feels like hell. But the road, that's the right road. And that's how you know you're on the right road. Because the road to hell always feels like heaven. Went over your head. I say it again. The road to heaven feels like hell. But the road to hell always feels like heaven. Anybody ever had a good time? Come on. Look at your neighbor and say, I done had some good times. I done had a good time. And I bet you it felt like what? Heaven. It feels like, but that's how you know you're on the right road. Church, you got to follow him because it means he's going to transform you on the way. And somebody here, I hear you in the spirit. I hear you saying, well, Pastor Cam, I ain't even going to play with him like that. I ain't even going to play with him like that. I'm going to get myself together because I don't even want to play with him like that. I got to fix on me first before I come down there and do all that. And you're missing what the Lord is trying to say to you. He's saying, that's my job. If you come to me, I'll fix you. Quit trying to do my job. There's so much stuff trying to lead us today. And so much, and the leading thing that's trying to lead us right now is our flesh. Don't you make the mistake to follow after your flesh to lead you. Because your flesh knows what you forgot. Your flesh knows that when it's all said and done, it's not going to heaven with you. Your soul is. When it's all said and done and your funeral announcements are arranged, and we're going to put that body in the ground, it's going to turn back to dust, and we're going to say from dust to dust, from earth to earth, from ashes to ashes, and your body will be no more. It's not going with you to heaven. It's not going with you to see Jesus. It's not. And so if you've got fleshly desires and if your flesh is leading you, it's going to lead you backwards and not forwards to God. Your flesh know when this thing is over, it's over for it. So you wouldn't be wise to let your flesh lead you in nothing. It was Paul who said in 1 Corinthians 15 and 31, I die daily. So my brothers and sisters, I'm done here. And I'm done lying about me being done. Thought I was done the first time. Then I thought I was done the second time. But I'm done now. As you seek to become followers of Jesus, you got to understand that you've got to trust and obey. For there is no other way. To be happy in Jesus is to trust and obey. And I've got to leave you now, but my testimony is, after following Jesus for some time now, tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus said the Lord. Can't you hear the church singing, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him over and over. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. And I'm done now, but here's my confession to you. That I need to share. I came to Jesus just as I was. I was weary, wounded, and sad. But after I started following him, I found in him a resting place. And he has made me glad. And I hear my grandmama singing now. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice because he has made me glad. And so today I declare I'm not a fan. Today I gotta declare I'm not a fan. Today I'm going on record saying I'm not a fan. Don't put me in that crowd. Don't put me in that section. And don't put me with those people, because today I'm not a fan. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And because I'm a follower, my testimony is he walks with me. He talks with me. Praise his name. He tells me that I am his own. And the joy, anybody got joy? The joy, the joy, the joy that we share as we tarry there. None other has ever known. I'm a follower, I ain't a fan. Now I need somebody, anybody, particularly everybody, to help me lift up Jesus. This is for the followers, not the fans. And tell somebody, I ain't a fan. I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan. Because fans are distant. Fans are disconnected. I'm not a fan. Because fans want miracles, but don't want the master. I'm not a fan. Because fans want grace, but don't want God. I'm not a fan because fans are in the stands and on the sideline. I'm not a fan because fans are fascinated with Jesus, but followers are lockstep with Jesus. I'm not a fan because fans are in the crowd, but followers carry the cross. I'm not a fan because fans know about Jesus, but followers are known by Jesus. I'm not a fan because fans show up on Sunday and live like hell on Monday. I'm not a fan because fans listen to the word, but followers, they obey the word. I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan because fans follow when it's easy, but followers follow when it's costly. I'm not a fan because fans come for the moment, but followers commit for a lifetime. I'm not a fan. I'm looking for the followers. I'm looking for the followers. I'm looking for the followers. I'm not a fan because we don't sit in comfort. We step into calling. Brothers and sisters, we're not fans because fans look for inspiration, but followers look at transformation. I'm not. No, sir. No, ma'am. I'm not a fan. I'm a follower. And if you a follower, let me hear the followers say yeah. Say yes. Say yeah, yeah. Say yeah, yeah. Say yes. Yes. Looking for fans. I'm looking for followers. So if you are a follower, look at somebody who needs Jesus and encourage them and say, come on, my friend. Come on, my friend. I don't see you talking to nobody. Tell them, come on, my friend. It's time to stop being counterfeit. It's time to stop pretending. It's time to stop being fake. It's time to come on to Christ and be a follower. I'm looking for somebody who needs to know that following ain't getting you nowhere. And so if that's you, come on down. If that's you, come on down. If you've been a fan, come on down. Quit pretending. Quit playing. Quit being pretense. Having pretense. Get right with God, because followers are followers. Followers are committed. And I don't know about you, but if I'm a follower, I can't be faking. If I'm a follower, I can't be faking. I gotta get serious. 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 I have to get serious. It's not a game. I wanna be a follower. I don't want to be a fan. Fans don't make it to heaven. Followers do. Today, Let's make the decision to say yes. 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 Yes.